You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Tuesday, October 13th. This is The Christian Commute. I am your host, Seth Dunn, and you are riding home with me on what could be a full show, but we'll see. Here's the deal. And by the way, I'm backing out of the bad space. I got the worst space at work again today. Maybe I should show up 15 minutes earlier. Now that I'm out of the bad space, I can continue. Sorry. I could have a full show today. If I get to it, I've got a show about reparations, quote-unquote reparations at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. It's actually a show topic that I audibled on today because the one I came up with, it was going to be called Two Kid Catholics. I kicked the can down the road because this is a current event. I think people are reading it wrong. So I've got that. That's the show topic if I get to it. I have a question in the inbox about the Trinity. And then, as always, we have the Bible chapter review. We're going to talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And it's not that it's going to take so long answering the question or so long talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000 that I won't get to the show topic. It's that it's 5:42 right now. And the Braves come on at 6 o'clock. So I'm not going to make it home by 6 o'clock. The Braves are in the playoffs. They have a 1-0 lead over the Dodgers. And at 6 o'clock, I'm going to turn off this show and listen to the Braves. So you guys will probably get Mark 6 and a question in the inbox. And after today's question, which is from Frank, I have another question from Frank and another question that someone submitted anonymously through ChristianCommute.com. So what day is it? Is today Wednesday? Please be Wednesday. Don't you hate it when you think it's Wednesday and it's really Tuesday? What day is it? It's Tuesday. Oh. Okay, so I have a question for Wednesday, and I have a question for Thursday, but I do not have a question in the inbox from Friday. So you guys, keep them coming. I don't even have, like yesterday, a question that I can't even answer. So I need some questions. But let's get to the Bible chapter review. Mark chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000. So yesterday, we ended the Bible chapter review with the disciples returning to Jesus after having been sent out to preach to the towns, giving him a report of all that they preached, and he said, let's go away to a secluded place and get some rest. But while they were leaving to the secluded place, the crowds of people there amongst the various villages where they were saw them, and they figured out where they were going. So they started rushing to the secluded area, and they got there before Jesus and his disciples. So Jesus and his disciples show up, and they're tired, and they've gone there for rest, but Jesus sees the crowd, and he has compassion on them. He says, they are like sheep without a shepherd. So people who would just wander and not know what to do unless someone leads them. So in the same way that one might feel sorry for a sheep wandering about the countryside with no one to take care of it, you know, a wolf or a bear could come get it at any moment. Somebody could just come pick it up and eat it or something. In the same way you'd feel sorry for a little sheep like that, Jesus sees these people who need his leadership and his guidance, and he has compassion on them, and he decides to teach them. So he begins to teach them. Mark doesn't say what he's teaching them. It could be the same things he taught them before, and they're teaching in parables. It could be another version of the Sermon on the Mount. We don't know. Jesus is teaching them. We know it's good because Jesus is teaching it. But then the hour starts to get late, and it's dinner time. And this is first century Israel. It's not like there's a McDonald's or a Walmart they can go to get food really quick. Not only that, these people are out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm sure we've all been here before when you're in a meeting or even a church service and you're hungry and it's time to go. And you're like, nope, it's time to go. I had a vendor come visit me today. And we'd scheduled to have a meeting to talk about our business. And then we scheduled some time to go to lunch. And then we were almost done speaking to them about our business. And it's getting to be about 11:45. I ate lunch at 11:15. And one of the managers who works for me is just the friendliest guy in the whole world. And he's just being super friendly. And I look at him and I'm like, dude, stop talking. We got to go to lunch. So when it's time for lunch, it's time to stop talking. And luckily, we're here in Calhoun. We're about 6 miles away from Calhoun proper, the exit with the Longhorn. But, you know, hey, it's time to eat. Boom, we're going to go to Longhorn and have some steaks. Not so in Judea. There was no Longhorn. Even if they were in the populated area, there was no Longhorn and no place to buy food. Like a Longhorn. But they did have places to buy food. And the disciples say, send these people away. We're in this desolate place. It's going to take some time for them to even get to a place where they can get some dinner. Either going to the market or going home. And it's late. The market could close. These are the considerations they'd have. But Jesus just tells the disciple, you give them something to eat. And they only have a little bit of food with them. They have 5 pieces of bread or 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the disciples say, You want us to go to the store and spend 200 days wages to buy these people food? Because there's 5,000 people. Really, it's 5,000 men. That wouldn't count the women and children. So if there's 5,000 men and there's one woman and one child for every man, on average, that's 15,000 people. There's a lot of people there. You want us to go to the store? First of all, we're out desolate. You want us to go pick up all this food, spend 200 days wages. I mean, 200 days wages is like a half of your income. Well, not half, but it's a little less than half, but more than a third. And Jesus, he responds and just asks them, what do you have to eat? How much food do you have? And they say, well, we have 5 loaves. And 2 fish. Jesus takes the food. He blesses it. And he has the people organized into groups. Y'all sit in a group of 50. Y'all sit in a group of 50. Y'all sit in a group of 50. And he starts distributing the bread and the fish to the people. And when he's done distributing the food, when everybody has a piece, there's more left over than they began with. Jesus has miraculously multiplied the people's food, or the food, and fed the people with it. And how much food is it? Well, it's 200 days worth of food, 200 wages, days wages worth of food. I don't know, let's see. What would the wage of a laborer be? Let's just say $20 for easy math. I'm talking about today, in today's dollars in America. So if somebody makes $20 a day and they work five days a week, 8 hours a day, what's that? 160 times 5, $900 a week is 5 days' wages. So 5 days into 200 days is 40, right? 40 times 5 is 200. So 40 times, what did I say it was? 960, is that what I said? In a week, $20, do the math again because I forgot where I was. I'm trying to multiply it by what, 200? I promise I'm an accountant. I do this for a living. I just did it when I left work. I was sitting there saying, all right, what's this guy make? Got to multiply it by 8 hours a day, and how many days off does he have? Okay, let me do this again. $20, 8 times 20 in an 8-hour day is 160. Not that they were working 8-hour days. They didn't have unions back then. I've already got 5 days a week. Not that they were working 5 days a week, because they would have worked 6 days a week. But see, five. I'm relating it to you people. This is called contextualization. 5 times 160. Yeah, that's $900. Now I got to multiply $900 times, what did I say? 200 200 days wages, multiply it by 40, 900 times 40. Let's see. Is that $36,000? 900 times 40? Let's see. 9 times 4 is 36, and I got 3 zeros. $36,000. So Jesus just miracles $36,000 worth of food. I don't want you to think about this. How many church events have you ever been to, especially a youth event, where they're going to feed the kids after? Because if we got to feed people if we want to get them to come. And how much money it takes to feed people. And you got to have a church dinner and everybody has to bring food or donate money. Jesus just miracles $36,000 worth of food right there. How's that for catering? No plans. And by the way, think about how much you have to plan it out. You know, catering to 5,000 people can be done. And by the way, it costs $36,000. It's possible, but you got to plan it out. You just can't call the caterer and say, yeah, I need some sandwiches delivered tomorrow. Hey, Subway. Hey, Jersey Mike's. This episode of the Christian Commute brought to you by Subway. Yeah, I need some party subs. I got a party tomorrow. Oh, okay. How much do you know? Oh, I need $36,000 worth. I need 5,000 sub sandwiches, bags of chips, and bottled Cokes. Can you do that for me with one day's notice? Jesus just feeds the people. And if you look at what Jesus is doing, he meets their spiritual needs, teaching them. And then, like the good shepherd he is, he meets their physical needs. Just like the shepherd leads the sheep to still waters and to pasture land so that they can graze, Jesus, the shepherd of these people, provides for their every need. And with that, we will end the Bible chapter review on that note. And we will continue, Lord willing, tomorrow. Now let's go to the inbox. Today's question comes from Frank in Massachusetts. Boy, Massachusetts is the north, man. I think that's as far north as anybody sends me questions. I think I have a couple of Canadian listeners, but I don't know if they send me questions. There's one Canadian guy who tweets at me. But Frank from Massachusetts. Is it Missouri or Massachusetts? I'm going to have to double check. Maybe it's Missouri. M-I is Michigan. M-A is Massachusetts. M-S is Mississippi. What's Missouri's designation? Is it M-O? It's M-O. Well, if I ever need to mail something to Missouri, I'm covered. But I think Frank is Massachusetts. But for some reason now doubt is tearing at me and saying Missouri. And I think it's because I think there's Christians in Missouri. And when I imagine Massachusetts, it's a barren wasteland of Roman Catholics and liberals. That's how I imagine it. But maybe there are a few Christians there like Frank. Oh, there's Yankees everywhere. Am I trapped between two Indiana people? I got Indiana on my right. Is this Indiana in front of me? Yup, Indiana people driving slow. What is it about you Yankees where you can't press the gas pedal? Do people just get pulled over for doing 60 miles an hour in the north? Listen, you can drive as fast as you want in the south as long as you're not drunk or swerving. All right, don't take my word for that, by the way. I'm exaggerating. Okay, come on, get out of the way. I'm running out of time, and you're in your little Chevy Cavalier, little black Chevy Cavalier. Go on. There you go. Out of my way, Indiana driver. You got your window down. That's your problem. You're smoking a cigarette. That's why you're going slow, because you're smoking a cigarette. Therefore, your window has to be cracked. And you can't drive fast on the freeway with your window cracked because it's too loud. Your disgusting habit is killing you and making others late. Don't smoke, people. Sorry, let's get to Frank's question. His question is this. How are we to relate to each person of the Trinity in our everyday life or through our prayers? How are we to relate to each person of the Trinity in our daily lives and in our prayers? And I think Frank's question says part. How do we relate to each part of the Trinity? No. Three persons. Not three parts. Three persons. God is not one person divided into three parts. Like, I am one person. I am body, soul, and spirit. Even though I really only, I believe the soul and the spirit is the same thing. Anyway, we don't say three parts. He's three persons. He's three persons. It's not like you could take one away and he's ontologically still the same. So how do we relate to the three persons of the Trinity every day and in our prayers? So from a prayer perspective, I always say it like this. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit indwells us. And this is biblical. You can go to Romans. Even when we don't know the words to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words for us. So whatever we need to say to God, even if we don't know what to say, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can pray to Him. And we pray in the name of His Son. We come to Jesus, or we come to the Father in the name of Jesus. And when I think of with prayer, that's how I think of it. Heavenly Father, please help the Braves win. In Jesus' name, amen. When you pray. And yes, when I... You know why I forgot to pray for Alabama? I'm sorry, but I pray for Alabama. I always pray, Dear Lord, help Alabama play the best they can and the coaches coach the best they can. And I feel like if... I'm not praying for them to win, but I feel like if God answers that prayer, they'll win because... There's only two or three teams that have players as good as they do. Clemson and most years LSU and sometimes Ohio State. If Alabama plays to the best of their ability, they should win. And I may have been praying for the Braves last night when they won. But yeah, you pray to the Father in the name of the Son and the power of the Spirit. And that's just natural. Now, the other part of your question, Frank, what you're saying is, well, in your everyday life, how do you relate to all three persons of the Trinity? I don't think you need to worry about that, Frank. It's not like a checklist. Like, I'm about to get home, and I need to say hi to my wife and spend time with her, and then I got five kids, and every one of them needs my attention, affection, and love and to be listened to. By the way, God doesn't need you. You need Him. And by the way, Frank, you're not implying, I know your question does not imply that God needs you. I'm just saying this is all these, every time you try to make an analogy and then relate it to God, it always fails. But I, as to be a good father, I need to go and spend time with everyone in my house. Like, I don't need to skip Naomi. That's my oldest daughter. I don't need to skip her. And then tomorrow when I get to work, I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do I have 6 people who work for me or 5? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, I have 6 people who work for me. Sometimes I forget one because he works in Canada. At least sometime during the week, maybe not every day, I need to interface with all of those people to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and they're getting what they need from me. Right? So I don't want to short anybody. But with God, it's not like that. It's like, oh, I didn't think about the Holy Spirit today. I was deficient in my Christian walk. And let's think of it like this, Frank. Do we think that Moses or Abraham or any of the Old Testament prophets or judges had a deficient relationship with the Almighty? Do we think that? Yeah, the answer is no. Well, there's no reason for us to think that. Did any of those people even know that God was three persons? Did they know what the Trinity was? No, they didn't. They just knew of Yahweh, the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God they know. I'm sorry, that's the God they knew, and that's the God that we know. But they didn't know He was three persons. That was explained to us through progressive revelation, most notably through the New Testament. So if they could relate to God in their everyday lives, whether it be through prayer or the sacrificial system, the reading of Scripture, whatever it is, just doing God's will, and they didn't know that the Son and the Spirit and the Father were the three persons of the Godhead. They just didn't know that. They just think, well, there's one God. We don't need to make sure and say, well, I got to think of Jesus today, or I got to say something about Jesus today, and all I got to throw in the Holy Spirit. I got to do something in the power of the Holy Spirit, or ask the Holy Spirit to help me, and then I have to thank the Father for something. Listen, if you sit down to eat your food and you look down and it's just been a long day and you're just hungry and you're ready to eat, you say, thank you, Jesus, and eat, you've related to God that day. You didn't say, Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. Please bless it to the nourishment of our bodies and us in thy service. In Jesus' name, amen. You didn't mention Jesus. You didn't talk to the Father. He said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, help. Sometimes I just look heavenward. Ah, help. Right? When I don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit, get it done. I don't know what to say. So, Frank, yeah, I don't think there's this requirement or checklist need that we have to make sure we relate to everyone. God in three persons, right? If you relate to God during the day, you've related to God during the day. And that's my opinion on that. And I think you can back it up soundly with the Bible and biblically. Now, as far as today's show topic, SBTS, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and $5 million of reparations and scare quotes, ain't going to get to it today because it's 6 o'clock and I'm going to find the Braves on the radio. So thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.